Amen. Beryl's going to come and read to us from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah. Thanks, Beryl.
The reading is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 to 9, and it can be found on page 584 on the Pew Bibles. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
Shall we stand for our gospel reading? Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. It's on page 861 in our Pew Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples just before his ascension into heaven. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So, Heavenly Father, be present by your Holy Spirit. Speak to us, challenge us, stretch us this morning, we pray. Amen. Please do have a seat. So this morning we're continuing our series that we started 3 weeks ago on who are we as Locks Heath, St. John's Locks Heath? What is the purpose of this church? What are we here to do? And how are we getting on? And 2 weeks ago we thought about what is the church for? Not just this church, but what is the Church of Jesus across the world for? And we discovered that we are a church that is aiming to go, like Jesus told us, to go and make disciples. And we particularly reflected on how there's a particular challenge for us about passing on the faith to the next generation. There were some new, very alarming figures from the Church of England yesterday that 68% of churches have less than five people under 16 in their worshipping community. So almost 70% of our churches effectively have no kids or very, very few. So there's an urgent challenge to pass on the faith, as Jesus told us, to the next generation. And then last week we were thinking about, well, what are our clergy, what are our church leaders, what's their role in that? And we were thinking especially about how we often think that it's our role to support the clergy in getting on with that job of going and making disciples. And actually it's the other way around, that the clergy are here to support you, all of you, to go and to make disciples, to share the good news of Jesus. So this week, we're going to get really practical. We're going to get really specific. We're going to say, well, what does it mean to do those things right here as this community, St. John's, in this community, Locks Heath? What does it mean for us? And starting here is a really good idea. In fact, it's what Jesus told us to do. In that Luke reading that we've just had, he says to his disciples, "I want you to go and do all these things, proclaim repentance, forgiveness of sins, proclaim my name to the ends of the earth, but begin from Jerusalem." In other words, begin where you are. In another gospel, he talks about going on from there to Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. But start here, start where you are. And we're in a good place to do that, and because we are a really local church. That isn't always the case in sort of middle-sized and large-sized churches. Churches quite often start having a bigger reach, and they start drawing people in from further away in order to grow. But when you look at our electoral roll, you can stick all the postcodes into Google Maps, and what you get is you discover that we're actually a very local church. Almost everybody lives, if not necessarily in the parish of Loxheath, then certainly in what we would call the neighbourhood of the Western Wards. The sort of area in which we live and work is the same area in which we go to church. So we are a local church. We're well placed to start here. And that's what the PCC a couple of years ago decided we would make that part of our strategy, that we would be a local church reaching out with the love of Jesus. We said, let's come up with a sentence that will hold us to the task and that will remind us what we're here for. This is the sentence we came up with. Hopefully this is familiar. Reaching out with the love of Jesus to bring hope and change to our world. In other words, deliberately being a going sort of church, a looking out sort of church, introducing people to Jesus so that they can experience his love. And we believe that that is good news, that it will bring hope to them, that it will actually change things for the better as we proclaim this Jesus and see his kingdom coming. But we wanted to get more detailed about, you know, who is it who is in our neighborhood? Who are our friends and neighbors that we are wanting to share this good news with? And there's a trap to fall into here. You can sit and think, well, who are the people I know? But the problem is what you end up doing is describing the sort of people you already know and ignoring the people you don't know. So we wanted to get to some actual statistics. The Diocese of Portsmouth came last year and helped us with this. And they use a tool produced by a company called Experia, where they use data from the census, and also they buy in other data, like sort of Tesco club cart sort of data, and they build up a really detailed picture of what is going on right across the country. And they can tell you what an individual household on an individual street, what it is like. They group together all this data, and they have a book which has got about 60 different profiles in it, and they can say, yes, you've got this number of this particular profile. This is what they told us about our neighbourhood. They said, actually, you have three significant groups that you need to think about. The first one is this. They call this one the senior security group. And it makes up 16% of our neighbourhood is in this group. And effectively, we're talking about people who are significantly into retirement. They're not newly retired. They're a few years in. They're well off. They probably own their own property, maybe living in a bungalow. Children all grown up now and moved on. Think about the sort of people who might be off on a cruise anytime soon. You know, money to spend on holidays. That's sort of 16% of our neighbourhood, senior security. But that's not our biggest group. Our biggest group is actually one that they call prestige positions. You'll have to forgive the names. 31%, so almost double that other group is in this group. This is people who are approaching retirement, not yet retired, in the run-up to retirement on really good salaries, you know, household incomes of 100,000 upwards. Again, homeowners. But interestingly, they would often have a bit of a family element to them. Teenagers, maybe, who are going off to university, coming and going, perhaps post-university, but they might still have a room in the house, you know, so it's still the family home. That's about 31% of our neighbourhood. And then a third significant group, 18%. So again, still bigger than that first group, 18% what they call domestic success. And this is young families that are doing really well. Think about sort of two incomes, a couple of kids, owning their own property. Again, really healthy income, seem to be doing quite well in life in their 40s. The interesting thing was that the advisors who were talking to us about these groups, they said, you're in a really fortunate position in Loxheath, because the group we just told you about, the 30% of coming up to retirement, they haven't realised how old they've got. They think that they still think young. So if you aim at the 40-somethings with little kids, the ones who are quite a bit older will think that they will think you're talking to them. So you've got a nice big target there. If you add up those numbers, you've got 49%, almost half of our community, who are family homes, who think of themselves as relatively young, as they're bringing up little kids, or they've got slightly older kids. 49% family homes in our neighbourhood, almost half. I'm going to pause there for a moment, because what I'd like you to do is just have a little look around you. How are we doing at reflecting what our community is like? Are we 49% family homes in our congregation? Or are we a bit more representative of that 16% of senior security, maybe? There are other groups. There are other groups as well, but these are the big ones that they're telling us about, and particularly urging us to aim at that 49%. The 49% who we know are there, who are a big group in our community, but they're not here, are they, on the whole? They're not here at 9:15 on a Sunday morning, so where are they? Well, having done this work with the diocese, we wanted to find out a bit more about our neighbourhood, and we wanted to imagine, you know, what is life like for that 49% that is such a big group in our area. And we went back to the original census data, and there's all sorts of information you can draw out of that. We had some help from a statistician in our congregation, and we grabbed some maps. These maps are relatively easy to read. You can get a really quick grasp on this. Basically, if it's quite yellow, like this, that's our neighbourhood. There's Parkgate up the top and Warsash down the bottom. And if the houses are all quite yellow, it means the statement that I've just told you isn't very true at all. So if I said, you know, this is the number of households in the area where they have a pet llama, then yellow is not really. If, on the other hand, it's gone very red and looks a bit more like that, that means the statement is generally true for a lot of our households. So, you know, people who sleep in a bed, the map might look like that, very red. So what we were interested in is, so what can we do for our neighbourhood? How can we serve them? Where are the problems in our neighbourhood that we can address in order to share with people good news? And statisticians have a way of measuring this called the deprivation index. And there are four measures of deprivation, and you can either have none of them, or you can just have one of those indicators, or you can have up to all four of them. So when we asked ourselves, well, is this a deprived area? Well, this is what the map looks like. This is households which have all four of the indicators. Not many. This is how many have three or two, or just one indicator of deprivation, or no indicators of deprivation at all. It's quite a clear picture for us that this is not a neighbourhood of deprivation, that this is not an area in which people have practical needs that we need to go and help them to meet. So this is a bit of a challenge for us as a church, because the things that immediately jump to mind when we say, what can we do in our community, things like food banks and debt advice, we discover aren't really a significant issue in our community. Our community actually seems to be doing quite well. It seems quite prosperous. It seems to be homeowning, car driving, successful people. So what are we going to do? Well, let's find out a bit more about these people who live here. What sort of jobs are they doing? We get quite a clear steer on what this community looks like, because we get a map of people who are in senior management roles, plenty of those around. People who are professionals, again, looks pretty healthy, those numbers. People who work alongside professionals or senior people, that looks like the sort of area that we're in. When we compare that with how many people are in skilled labour or in sales, far fewer of them. And if you get to people who are doing practical jobs in a factory, almost none really, and unskilled labour, almost non-existent in our neighbourhood. So again, it's an area that's working in high-powered, successful sorts of jobs. And they're working hard as well. How many hours are they working? Well, the survey can tell us that. This is what I would call a sort of civil service type job, between 30 and 40 hours a week. A nice, sensible number of hours to be working. And there are people doing that. But when we compare that with how many people are working 49 hours or more, that's a lot of hours, there are people working very hard in our community. So they've got high-powered jobs that are taking a lot of their time. They are, on the whole, car owners. I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? We're gonna know that from living here ourselves. Public transport isn't great. This is people who don't own a car at all. Not many. Just one car. Well, still not many. Now look at this. How many people own two cars? Lots of people own two cars. Cars are the main way of getting around here. And actually, just keep your eyes open to what sorts of cars people have got as well. You know, we've got lots of Audis and BMWs. You get used to that. Not so much the cheaper cars around on the streets in our neighbourhood. And where are people driving to work? I mean, they do mainly drive to work. I'm going to show you a different sort of map now. This is one that shows where people are going. If it's a red line, then people are leaving Loxheath to go to work somewhere else. And if it's a blue line, then people are coming here to Loxheath to work from somewhere else. So red is going out, blue is coming in. And we see that almost everybody is going out. Almost everybody is leaving Loxheath to go to work. Going off to Southampton, off to Portsmouth, some up to the National Air Traffic Control Service is up there. Office of National Statistics gets a little flag up there as well. Lots of people working in those places. And if we zoom out a little bit, we discover that there's some going off to places like Winchester and Basingstoke. But if we pull all the way out, not that many people are going to London every day to work. So people are travelling to work, they're working long hours, they're in good, successful jobs, but they're not going all that far in order to get to those jobs. So that gives us a little sort of snapshot of the sorts of people who we have in our community. We've got people who are doing quite well in life, who own their own property, who own a couple of cars, who've got kids, married, lives that look like they are going really, really well, high income sort of area. And the challenge for us then is, how do we reach a community like this? That's the question that the leadership team and the PCC have been wrestling with, because if we're not going to be doing food banks and debt advice and those sorts of really practical things, if that's not really what the 49% need, what do they need? Well, imagine yourself into one of those households and that sort of life that's going on. You know, on the outside, it's all going so brilliantly, isn't it? Plenty of money, own property, whatever car you want, bringing up the kids. Isn't it going well? And we suspect that what people like that really need to hear is, what is my life all about? Is this really it? Because as a culture, we're telling them that they've got everything they need. They've got the money, they've got the cars, they've got the dream lifestyle. But is that really what life is all about? Is this what life is really for? That's why we've started to use these three little words as a shortened version of what we're all about, that reaching out with the love of Jesus to bring hope and change to our world. We've started just saying, actually, we want to be a place that is a place of life and hope and joy. We want to be able to say to people who are working really hard and have all the material things that they could want, that actually there is more life, that there is hope, that this isn't the end of the line, that this is a place of joy where you can come and have fun and enjoy being here. We do know, by the way, that joy in yellow on a white background doesn't work very well. We are going to work on that. Don't worry about that. Life, hope, joy. Can we be a place of life, hope, joy? If you've been working really hard all week, can this be a place that you look forward to coming to as a family? You know, your family time is precious to you. You're working really hard during the week. Is this going to be a place you're going to come together as a family and enjoy being here, and it's going to have really been worth your while? So the challenge then is, if we're going to be a place of life, hope and joy for that 49% of our community that we know is out there, what does that mean for how we do things around here? And I think the challenge has got to be, you know, we need to be a church that when somebody in that 49% of family homes walks in the door, it feels like we're a place for people like them. It feels like this is somewhere that's worth coming to and where you're gonna be welcomed, and there are going to be other people like you around. How do we start to build that? And some of this is quite superficial. Okay, I do get that, guys. Some of this is about doing relatively trivial things that just help people to think, yeah, that's a place for people like me. Imagine you're one of those sort of family homes and you thinking, oh, I don't know much about St. John's. I'm starting to hear about it. I like their Christmas lights. What are you going to do to find out more about St. John's? You're going to Google it. You're going to Google it. At the moment, if you Google it, you get a website like that, which has been faithfully sort of kept going for a long time, like a much-loved old family car. But look at it now compared to the sort of websites you're used to looking at. You know, the images don't even reach the edges of the pages. You know, it's fairly static. It's not got any of that kind of excitement or whiz about it. So we want to invest in our website to make it a bit more exciting when you look at it and give the sense that we're a place of life and hope and joy. We're going to be doing that this year. We want you, when you walk through the door, to think that this is a place that is loved and cared for and could be a place where you're going to be comfortable. So we're starting to invest in the Grove Room area. We changed the curtains and put up some blinds instead. Those curtains had been up for a quarter of a century. We're looking at changing some of the colours in there just to make it feel more like homely and a more of a welcoming place. We've just put in this week a help yourself coffee machine that will be available during the week that people can just come and get a really decent cup of coffee. So this feels like a comfortable place to come. Another big thing we're doing on a fairly superficial way, but a really an important way, is thinking about this space. Have you had a little look around? I know we get used to these things, but have you had a look around the church? Because if the curtains hadn't been changed for 25 years, in here hasn't been changed for even longer. And we're spending some money this year at looking at what could our church actually look like. I mean, this is just a church I Googled. This is not our plans for what it might look like in here. But doesn't that look like a much more appealing space to spend some time in and to gather together as a family in, rather than the slightly dark and dingy feel that we've got going on right now? So those are some sort of fairly superficial things that we want to do, so that when people in that group arrive, they think, yeah, this is a place for people like me. And one more thing we want to do is we want to keep investing in our 10:45 service. I know some of you have been to the 10:45, some of you haven't. One of the things we hoped for, the 10:45, when we launched it 3 years ago, was that it would be a place where that younger group of people might enjoy coming together to worship. We've had a hunch that they enjoy worshipping in a more informal, more relaxed way, that we had a feeling that they like to sing different types of music. And so we gave it a go. And it is working. It is working. People who have come to church through toddlers or through messy church, we always tell them about all of our services, but most of them end up going to the 10:45. People who've finished the Alpha course and are looking to start coming to church more regularly, we tell them about all of our services, but on the whole, they decide to go to the 10:45. People who come to us because they want a baptism. Some of you might be thinking, gosh, I haven't seen a baby being baptized for ages. It's because they choose the 10:45. They want to have their babies baptized in that sort of a style of a service. So I think we do need to keep investing in the 10:45. This is something that we are doing. Remember what I said about, you know, clergy. It's not about everybody helping the clergy to do this. The 10:45 is not Gavin's pet project in order to do something a bit different. This is what we are doing as a church to pass on the faith to the next generation, to reach people who don't already know him. And don't hear me wrong, there's no plans to stop doing this style service. We're going to be committed to that as well. But we need to find ways that connect with a new generation. And we think this is it. So we're going to continue to make that a priority, to invest in that 10:45. Now, I know some of you hearing that will be asking questions like this. But I think actually we're still the ones who are paying for this, aren't we? We're still the ones who are giving. Yes, you are. Actually, we're still the ones who are volunteering and making stuff like coffee and toddler group and messy church happen, aren't we? Yes, you are. Actually, we're the people who've faithfully been here over all those years keeping this church going so that it is still a place of worship. It is still a place where people can encounter Jesus. Yes, you are. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is what we are doing together. This is what we are doing to pass on the faith to the next generation. And I know that that means that sometimes we're doing things that don't suit you. Sometimes we're doing things that suit other people. That's what we do as a family, as a people of God. You have already done so much. I feel like there's still more that we're going to need to do together. And I just want you to hear this. I am so grateful to you. I'm so grateful to you that we've been able to do even what we've done so far, and I feel like there's more to do, and I feel like you are going to be up for it, aren't you? I sometimes hear clergy from other places complaining that their congregations are so difficult, and they're awkward, and they're difficult to lead, and they don't like change. Can I just say, you are not that sort of a congregation. You are not those sorts of people. I get a bit of feedback from you, yes, of course, but you don't hate change. You are not sitting there thinking, don't you dare change anything. We are doing this together. Thank you so much for what we've done already. There's still more to do. So can we finish by praying that God will continue to guide us as we think about how we're going to reach those people who aren't already here and share with them the good news of Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are good news to everyone at every stage of life. And Father, we know that we have found that joy of being forgiven and of finding true life in you. We pray that you will guide us, help us to be wise, help us to be discerning as we make changes and reach out in fresh ways so that people may know you for themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.